1420 AM, W248 DE, Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Police in Texas for now will not have the authority to arrest and deport migrants they suspect of having entered the U.S. outside of a port of entry. That's because Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito has extended the temporary pause on Texas Senate Bill 4. CBS's Omar Villafranca reports.
I spoke with several law enforcement sources this afternoon. They tell me their police officers and deputies still have not received any state guidance or training on how to enforce this law, and they're just hoping they get some sort of training before this law possibly goes into effect.
Proponents of the Texas law say it's needed for security. Those against it say it could lead to racial profiling. University of North Florida economics professor Madeline Zavodny says the law would have a negative effect on Texas economy, at least in the short run.
It would probably make immigrants and people who might be concerned that they would be suspected of being immigrants less likely to be in Texas. And some people who are there might try to leave.
Negotiations resumed in Qatar as Israel and the U.S. are pushing for a six-week pause while Palestinians are demanding a permanent ceasefire. Meantime, CBS's Chris Livesay in Tel Aviv reports.
The U.S. confirms Israel has killed Hamas's number three military official, Marwan Issa. U.S. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan says justice will come for the others hiding in the tunnels.
Former President Donald Trump could be forced to surrender some of his properties to help pay a nearly $500 million civil fraud judgment in New York, according to CBS's Robert Costa.
His lawyers revealing in a court filing that Trump has failed to obtain a $454 million bond, calling it a practical impossibility. It's due in just 1 week, and without it, New York Attorney General Letitia James could freeze his bank accounts and seize his prized properties, including Trump Tower and 40 Wall Street.
After a winnerless weekend, the Powerball and Mega Millions jackpots have surged again. CBS's Matt Piper.
The Powerball is up to an estimated $645 million after no winner Saturday. The Mega Millions at $875 million. Combined, that's $1.5 billion. And Drew Svitko with the Pennsylvania Lottery says play goes up as the jackpot goes up.
Players tend to buy both games when they're in there, especially when they see both jackpots are high. Having a ticket for these drawings gives you the ability to dream about what you do.
The Powerball drawing is held tonight, Mega Millions tomorrow night. Matt Piper, CBS News.
The EPA bans asbestos, a deadly carcinogen still in use, decades after a partial ban was enacted. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
4 Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers is calling on Republicans to release $15 million to help stabilize health care access in western Wisconsin. Evers signed a bill earlier this month to send emergency funding to the area after both HSHS and Previa Health announced they would close several hospitals. That emergency funding is still tied up in the Republican-led Joint Finance Committee. They say that the money should only be used for emergency hospital services. Senator Ron Johnson says he hopes the Senate will take their time studying the House TikTok bill before calling for a floor vote.
What I've looked so far, there's very legitimate concerns on both sides of the issue. So I'm hoping we don't just rush into this, take a vote. I hope we actually do deliberate on this and take a look at this thing both from both sides.
The bill would take TikTok off U.S. app stores unless its Chinese owners sell to an American buyer. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Badgers headed to the big dance. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball. Wisconsin lost to Illinois 93-87 in the Big Ten final, but are headed to New York, where they'll face James Madison University Friday night. Greg Gard on what he knows about their next opponent.
I mean, they're 31-3. They won the Sun Belt. They beat Michigan State in overtime the first game of the year. They're really old from what I've learned so far. A lot of grad transfers. Best shooter used to be at South Dakota State, Ferdell. Yeah, you're going to play. Everybody you're going to play this time of year is really good. You can just erase all those numbers.
Marquette plays Friday afternoon against Western Kentucky. In the NBA, the Bucks with a win at home over the Suns. The final score 140-129. The funny thing is, Doc Rivers says that's exactly what he told the team at Saturday's practice, how much they'd have to score.
We actually talked about yesterday that there was a 140, and I'm not kidding, number out there. We just said, guys, we got to have the mindset that we can score 140 points.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, low upper 20s. For tomorrow, a mixture of sunshine and clouds, warmer and breezy, highs to the low 50s. Sunny but cooler Wednesday, high low 30s with snow on the way Thursday. Accumulations a possibility.
Right now it's 31.
Hey everybody, Todd Lawball here. Tuesday noon till 2. It is Tuesday Tangents with our own Luke Mathers right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, hit me, cut it.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Chuzunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Mm-hmm. You are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, it's Friday, and, you know, we have Fun Facts Friday with Wendy, but we also have State Senator Mary Kunish on, and a lot going on for an off-season thing at the Capitol. Welcome, State Senator.
Thank you so much for that welcome, Robert. It is. It's really busy at the Capitol. We're coming up on our deadlines for policy bills. Those are due. They have to be heard before next Friday on the 22nd. So if it's a policy bill, the first and second deadline are next Friday. So any policy bills that we want to possibly get done this year have to be go through their committees, or have to be at least through one committee, and then within a few weeks. Once we get our targets, our budget, then we will have the deadlines for finance bills as well. So we're coming close to kind of the end of session, which just doesn't seem right because it feels, on the one hand, it feels like we just started in the middle of February. We did. On the other hand, it feels like we've been doing this for months and months and months. But all in all, hearing really good bills. Hoping for some good financial targets, but if not, we'll just hold steady and keep doing the good work that we've been doing.
Yeah, and a lot of good work's been happening up there. We've been hearing a lot of things, been seeing it up on TikTok, and very interesting conversations happening. But sounds like some good outcomes, though, too.
Well, we're hoping for some good outcomes, you know, from healthcare to housing to no-cost breakfast and lunch for our students to a lot of good issues in Indian country. With the Democrats in control, we've been able to really pass some good legislation. And, you know, I always like to say, and most people will agree, when we're all doing well together, it we all do better. I mean, there's that Paul Wellstone, we all do better right. when we all do better, except we that's not really true, because always somebody's always doing much, much better. And yeah. The little guys get left out again in the end. But it's really the mission of our Democrats, our DFL, to get those resources to the communities, to the people and the areas that need it the most. And that's what we've been doing.
Yeah, a big applause, too. And you're coming from somewhere right now. I wonder if you could tell our audience where you're coming from.
Sure. I'm on my way back from the Upper Sioux Reservation. This past session, not this year, but last year, I carried a bill along with Representative Zach Stevenson that returned a swatch of the land. It's the Upper Sioux Agency State Park. And this land was returned to the Dakota people, to the Upper Sioux Nation today.
Wow.
Well, it actually kind of was done last week when they all went to Washington, D.C., but then there was the ceremony turning over the land to the tribe this morning, and I got to be there for it, and it was pretty incredible.
That is incredible, and that brings along our land back initiatives and what we talk about as Native people. Tell us a little bit of our audience all over Turtle Island a little bit more about this return of land.
Sure. So Chair Jensvold really is credited for much of the work and the perseverance. He has been working on this for 18 years. I think he said he's gone through 3 or 4 governors. And every time there's a new governor and they come to him and say, we want to be good partners, you know, co-stewards of the lands and this, that, and the other, he makes it very clear he wanted these sacred lands back. And these lands are along the Minnesota River. There are sacred burial grounds. It's sacred grounds. It was sites of skirmishes between settlers and the Dakota, and they decided to build a U.S. agency building on there that later became like a museum, and the park was used for recreation, so that meant they were putting picnic tables up, you know, over on the grounds of our ancestors. There had been disturbances to burial mounds, but the burial mounds, you know, were just there, and nobody was revering them or taking care of them the way that they should. And so he's going to be mad that I said that again. Chair Jensvold, you know, just persevered, and he kept saying, we want this land back. This is our land. We want it back. Mm-hmm. And last year, we were able to pass that legislation and get that land back. Now, the community around it is not happy. You know, it's so interesting because, and I'll tell you more about some of the other land back legislation we have, but the first inclination is that, oh, the Indians are going to close that land and nobody's going to have access to it. They're going to kick us all off, and we'll never be able to be on there. And where are we going to ride our horses or hike or any of that stuff? I mean, they immediately assume that the tribes are going to close everything off and keep it all for themselves. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you guys, that's exactly what you all did to us. And it's the first thing you go to. It's the first thing they go to.
Right.
And just so much misinformation when that happens. So the state did say that they would create another park of the same size somewhere. They don't know where and they don't know when, but they've got the land and the plan set aside. And of course, that community of Granite Falls would like to have another parks such as the one that they had. Mm-hmm. But if you look at it, they've got tons of parks. They're still on the river. There's still lots of outdoor opportunity. And, you know, it's just that fear of their land being taken away when we all know what that's like.
Well, I was just going to say they're projecting their delinquency on us. And I'm glad you called it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was a great celebration. The governor and the lieutenant governor was there. Their council members were all there.
Nice.
Chair Jenswold was there. The DNR, Commissioner of DNR, and the Minnesota Historical Society was there, because they all had parts in making sure that those lands were returned. And it was pretty emotional.
I'm so glad we have you on the show every week, but this is really news breaking, and I'm glad that we're talking about this. So our listeners are really aware of this. Really interesting stuff, and really timely. He's been working on it for 17 years and a bunch of governors. That it's amazing.
Yeah. And he also was always putting a bug in whoever governor it was or whoever legislator he could get his hands on to get a new flag. And lo and behold, Minnesota has a new flag. So he's
big
two
win.
For two.
He is. Hey, State Senator, I know you're driving, but we got another segment to do. This is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be back after this short break. Stay with us. Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by. Stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence, and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Cudigee, to all my friends and relatives in 4 directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support. Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by J.S. Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
I am awake, Kaylee, and we are here with State Senator Mary Kunish. And wow, for being off season or for the legislature, a lot of fireworks and a lot of things happening. Welcome back, State Senator.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, so I've been seeing things floating around here on my TikTok that's about to be taken away, and Facebook, a lot of things going up, testimonies back and forth. What's been going on there? I know you've been involved.
Well, it was kind of a big week, unexpectedly big week for me and for others, because. Maybe it was last week we introduced a bill that would return the White Earth Forest back to the White Earth Nation. And here in Minnesota, so the White Earth Nation are Anishinaabe Ojibwe, for those that are listening from far and away. And when they were pushed onto the reservations, there was this huge timber area And in the 40s, I believe it was in the 40s, somehow the state got their hands on it and created a state forest and have been managing it ever since, even though it's within the boundaries of the reservation.
Mm-hmm.
And the tribes have not received any of the income from timber. They haven't, the schools haven't received monies from our school trust fund because there are school trust fund lands in that forest. You know, people pay licensing for hunting and fishing and ATV. The tribes haven't gotten any of this, and this is all on their land. And so they finally said, we want it back. Or they've been trying for about 5 years to engage the DNR in getting it back, and it just hadn't gone anywhere. So they called me up and said, we have a bill. Will you drop it? Will you author it for us? I said, sure. And it's caused a lot of discussion, if you know what I mean when I say discussion.
Nice way to put it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's funny, the clips I saw, I think was a chairman, and he was saying that we've been reaching out to the DNR for a year and haven't responded to us. And so there's those things that slow things down, and people get on both sides get a little weary about what's happening.
Yep. Well, you know, it's so interesting because with the Upper Sioux land return,
mm-hmm.
in a way, it empowers the other tribes.
Right.
To, even though they've been asking or they've been trying to get things moving, it sort of has emboldened them. And that was one of the comments of one of the Republican senators when we were talking about this, because I presented the bill and there was so much negative, passive aggressive racism. But at one point, I think he got really mad. All of our answers made perfect sense. And it's like, first the Sioux, the Upper Sioux, now this, what's next? Is it ever going to stop? And I just said, no. No, not until we get back what we've been asking for. I mean, it's not like we're taking everything back, but things that are within the boundaries of the reservation, at least. Or another bill that we presented this week was that tribes get the first right of refusal when there are tax forfeit lands that are adjacent to the reservations. I don't think they're too pleased with that either.
Well, they're worried about their million-dollar mansions on lakes and things, and worried about the doors being closed. And again, they're projecting what they would do to us, it seems like.
Yeah, I think it is. And one of the commissioners, the county commissioners, made a statement. He said, now I forgot what I was going to say. The commissioner, what did the commissioner say? Anyways. Well,
about us wanting her to close off the roads and take their mansions away with these 100-year leases. Is that what he's talking about?
Hopefully not.
I don't know. We lost Mary. What a win. What a win. And again, it's on reservation land.
Exactly.
What is the malfunction here? So,
And the same thing just goes for anything. I would say that us natives want back or returned. And I think the fear is just for other people. It's, they're going to take everything back. And it's very funny to me in a way, because that's exactly what they did. And I've, seen posts still about the flag going back and forth, and people, the 12 people that showed up at the Capitol to protest keeping the old Minnesota state flag. It's like in the comments, one of them, one of the people were like, oh, well, we don't want forced change upon us. And it's like, well, that's exactly what happened to the natives. And you guys forced change upon us in taking away our lands, our food supply, our culture, our language, and you're worried about us forcefully taking a flag away, which one isn't being forced, but.
Right. Hey, I just, while we're waiting to get reception back with Mary, I just want to jump on the Star Tribune. And they had an article about her earlier being at the earlier thing for the Dakota. It says it says Dark History hopes for future mix as Minnesota transfers state park to Dakota tribe. At ceremony, officials handing over former state park lands back to the Dakota tribe, Governor Tim Walz bemoaned past treatment of tribes by the U.S. government. And it's the Upper Sioux community. Before a word was said or a document signed, boxes of tissues were laid out and ready. It was an emotional day for the Upper Sioux community, as in far western Minnesota, as state officials officially returned Upper Sioux Agency state parks back to the Dakota people. The park, several people noted at Friday's ceremony, was originally created on a 100-year anniversary of the starvation of Dakota people here. The ensuing 1862 U.S.-Dakota War ended with the largest mass execution ever in the United States, 38 men hanged in Mankato. So it's a big deal, and it's 1,300, like State Senator Mary Cooney said, a 1,300 park at the confluence of the Minnesota and Yellow Medicine Rivers is full of rolling prairie and wetlands. Before it closed to the public on February 16th, it received about 35,000 visitors a year, significantly lower than most of the 66 state parks. Mm. It's a great article, by the way. The park is a sacred site on where the Dakota people visit today to pray or meditate, but also the site of deep trauma. Many Dakota people were left starving there in 1862 and promised payments from the U.S. government failed to arrive, and traders refused to sell food on credit. So that was the Dakota, you know, remnants of the Dakota War. And we know, Haley, as Ho-Chunks, we were removed too because of that. And it was meaning the Ho-Chunk here in Minnesota. And we were removed just for being Indian because of Lakota-Dakota War against these people that were trying to starve them out. And so it's good. This is what you have when you have reasonable people running the government. And I just am so excited. And we have representation with State Senator Mary Kunish, and that she takes up these bills, Haley.
Yeah. And, you know, despite so much negative pushback from people who are just not for, I guess, positive change for everybody. But, you know, Mary is so quick, and Mary just runs things so amazingly, and she's just so quick to get things done. And I think that's just the kind of woman and leader that she is, and very glad to have her in our state.
Yeah. And these people that don't understand, I really can't emphasize enough that it seems like they're projecting what they would do to us when they start freaking out about, oh, they're not letting us get to our million-dollar mansions. They're going to cut off the roads. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. And that isn't what they're doing. And especially with Upper Sioux, with this sacred land and in this park. And, you know, there's 66 other state parks out there. And
yeah.
We're not asking for 66 of them. They were asking for what was sacred to them and what's in their wheelhouse of where they're from and where they live. So,
right,
it's just another reason, a good day. And I'm sorry to our friends in Wisconsin that listen to us and on Civic Media. We love you guys, but it's just unbelievable what's happening here with the trifecta and just common sense here in Minnesota.
Right. And I'm sure, you know, with the land going back to us in native hands, I'm sure the land will thrive after this.
Yep, that's right. And we're really happy. And this is a good day. Good day to be Indian and good day to be Indigenous. We'll be right back after this short break. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. The Supreme Court extends a ban on Texas new immigration law that makes unlawful border crossings a state crime. Rice University political science professor Mark Jones says Justice Alito waited until the last minute to issue the order.
Until Alito says otherwise, even if the Fifth Circuit was to rule in favor of Texas, the stay would continue until Alito decides to lift it.
Israel again raids Gaza's largest hospital. More from CBS's Chris Livesay.
Gunfire cracked at the Al-Shifa hospital complex in northern Gaza, where 30,000 Palestinians are sheltering. But among them, according to the Israeli military, were Hamas militants.
Former President Donald Trump could be forced to surrender some of his properties to help pay a $454 million civil fraud judgment in New York. CBS's Robert Costa.
Trump, who was unable to reach agreement with more than 30 companies that provide appeal bonds, is also scrambling to raise money for the general election.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. School in one northern Wisconsin district will be closed for the next 2 weeks after a potential carbon monoxide leak made 39 people sick last week. Machinery will be inspected and the building is being cleaned. The plan is for classes to resume on April 2nd. Carbon monoxide is odorless and tasteless, but can be detected by a working carbon monoxide detector. Early voting for next month's election kicks off on Tuesday across Wisconsin. The biggest ticket on the ballot is the presidential primary election. Also on the ballot are two amendments to the state constitution. One would make it illegal to use private grant money to help run elections. The other would specify that only election officials can administer elections. Also on the ballot are a bevy of local races across the state. I'm Nate Wiggehoe, Civic Media News.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Sam Neill talked about being at the Jurassic Park premiere in London with his 10-year-old son and sitting next to Princess Diana. Apparently, Sam Neill's son had really bad gas through the whole premiere. His biggest fear was that Princess Di thought it was him, and he didn't say anything. He did not out his son. I think that's so cool.
That's a great dad right there.
That's a great dad.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, low upper 20s. For tomorrow, a mixture of sunshine and clouds, warmer and breezy, highs to the low 50s. Sunny but cooler Wednesday, high low 30s with snow on the way Thursday. Accumulations a possibility. Current temp is 30.
Celebrating 75 years.
We got something going here in Madison.
On the ice.
Shoots and scores again.
Against the boards.
He hangs on. Badgers kill off the major.
Between the pipes.
Redirect another fantastic stop.
This is Badger Hockey.
Shoots one, scores. Wow.
It's everything.
For the win, he shoots and scores.
Badger Hockey lives here.
Keep it going, baby.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
All eyes will be on Wisconsin when the NFL brings the 2025 Player Selection Draft to the state. 250,000 visitors are expected. Here's Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich.
You know, maybe we don't have as many hotel rooms as a Kansas City or a Detroit, but I think it's going to be incredibly positive, not just for Green Bay, but the state as a whole.
It's the second time Wisconsin hosted the draft. The first
first in 1939. Do you know where? Oshkosh, Milwaukee, or Madison? The answer coming up.
It's really our obligation to pull people out of that campus when the draft activities aren't going on, to make sure that they see all the sites that we have within our downtown and other places.
And with the main draft campus around Lambeau Field, it's a time for the whole area to shine. Now, did you guess the Wisconsin location for the 1939 draft? It was a one-day event in Milwaukee with the NFL championship game the next day. The Packers beat the Giants 27-0. There's a winning slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by All My Relations Arts and their current gallery exhibit, Okizi, in partnership with the American Swedish Institute, now running until April 13th off of Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis.
Hey, we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and we're doing our Groovy Friday Day, and a lot happening here. And I just want to give us a quick shout-out, State Senator. On Monday, we're going to have Deb Holland, the honorary Deb Holland, on our show, and we're really excited. And I just got to say this. I know I bring it up not often, but I bring it up every once in a while. You were the first politician that dared come on our show when you were a state representative.
Yes. I mean, look at what's happened. I mean, first year state legislator on your radio, and next thing you know, you've got Deb Holland and all these other incredible other politicians banging on your door. So you must be doing something right.
Well, I appreciate that. And I appreciate that you opened up the door. And I think, too, when we did the Sunday symposiums really helped out Native Roots Radio, too, when COVID hit and you were on every week and we had Native American leaders all over the Turtle Island talking about how they were dealing with COVID.
It was so fascinating, Robert. I mean, you were able to bring so many interesting people that were just scurrying so hard and fast to find the resources for their communities. And we were all, you know, stuck at home. And I don't know, some of those Sundays would go on for hours. I mean, like people would just come and go and we just keep talking and talking. It was right. Great. Yeah.
It was fun. We met a lot of people that I think that's where I met Ruth Buffalo, now that I'm thinking of. She was on every week, too. And now here she is working in Minnesota. And now I consider her a friend. But back then, you know, I just ran into people at the presidential first Native American convention for the president. And it's been going on ever since. And Bob Blake was down there with me. We always joke about that because he was my key grip. And he was giving out T-shirts, and he gave out a lot of T-shirts too quickly. Oh, wow. But that was fun.
What's Deb Holland coming for?
Well, she's coming as a citizen, and we're talking about the big push for the presidency now. And I believe we've been reached out by the Biden administration and other entities that the Native vote cannot be ignored, and it's very important. So they're reaching out to us to get the word out and what President Biden's been doing.
Well, I hope that they have some good news for the United States folks, and that we're able to, you know, ensure that Trump doesn't get elected.
Right. And I don't know if you heard Ilham. She was on a national television show, and they asked her, would she be supporting Biden? And without hesitation, she said, absolutely. It's life or death. We cannot have another Trump presidency.
Yeah. And I know there's a lot of people that are concerned by the number of voters that voted uncommitted in the primaries. But that did send a pretty strong message to the Biden administration that we're just not going to put up with that anymore. And lo and behold, they're starting to, you know, call for Netanyahu to resign. And the people in his own country are calling for him to resign. So, you know, sometimes these are really hard things to do. When I know when it was the primaries and people would reach out to me like, oh, what should I do? I want to vote uncommitted because I want to send a message to the Biden administration. But I'm afraid that's going to give a vote to Trump. Well, that wasn't the case, first of all. And second of all, it doesn't mean that when push comes to shove that folks won't support a Democrat over a Republican, because we just absolutely cannot have, you know, Trump back in the White House. I mean, just remember the havoc that he wrecked, and it will be even worse this time around.
Absolutely. And, you know, it was interesting. I think you brought this up last week, but they were looking to do just 5,000. They were lucky to do 5,000 uncommitted, and I think they were over 30,000. And that is a super message, because that was quickly put on the ballot. And it is a message, because they could have voted for, I don't know, Robert Kennedy or what, Dean Phillips.
Or not voted at all.
Right.
Yeah. No, they threw that non-committed after they saw what I'm talking about, Minnesota here. So the organizers, after they saw what happened in Michigan when they did the non-committed and got one delegate, then the organizers said, well, let's do it. They put it together in 3 days. They were saying, if we get 5,000, we'll be successful. And they ended up with over 45,000. And got 11 delegates for the state convention. So that's a huge message. In a relatively easy way, in a short amount of time, to say, look, our votes do count, and you know, we're sending you the message that something has to change here.
Well, and the funny thing is, uncommitted got way more delegates than Dean Phillips. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
I know. Oh, man. That was that, you know, you don't know what to say. You don't know if to laugh or cry for the guy, you know.
Well, you know,
I mean, it's not easy to stick your neck out. I mean, good Lord, the president of the United States in this day and age. Who wants that job?
Right. But I just feel like it's a lot, it was a lot of ego, and his ego got smashed, because, I mean, you know, let's get real here. And now he's not going to be a representative. So now he's out of the whole political thing. And I don't know, that's kind of too bad, too, because he was voting pretty much party lines when it comes to Democratic stuff.
Yeah, he's a good Democrat. He was a really good Democrat, and he represented his district very well. Now Kelly Morrison is running for his seat. She was elected to the Minnesota House when I was elected, and then just recently came over to the Senate. But we'll lose her probably, and she'll be running for his seat. And I'm pretty confident that she'll be elected to his seat.
You know what's funny?
So, and this is, it'll be all women. Yeah.
Wow. Well, you know, that's just like our city council here in St. Paul, all women and all under 40. So that's
that's
good
amazing.
Thing. Yeah. Is anything happening locally or statewide, I should say, like it is nationally, where all these Republicans are resigning? It's just like they're bringing the number down to only having a one vote advantage now, because there was just somebody else that just resigned a couple days ago. But we don't have
exactly
that luck.
What's going on? I wonder if the whole Republican thing is just so atrocious to them finally that they don't want to be connected.
Yeah, I agree. And Yeah, we just lost you a little bit there.
See his hands and say.
Yeah, I think it's a little of both, and especially the way things are going down, because if we come out in masses and keep pushing people and new voters to go out and not listening to the media that always talks about how old he is, we're going to have a landslide and hopefully have a triple effect here nationally and get things done in a good way. And these people,
oh my gosh,
are not running again because they're going to get beat. And I have to say is Roe versus Wade. All these people that are want to take away women's rights, and that's going to be brought up in this election. And like the president said, look out for their fury because they're voting.
Well, and we warn them. You know, you'll come. You're coming at us for our reproductive rights, but part of that is, you know, they want to outlaw contraception. They want to outlaw in vitro fertilization. I mean, it's just micromanaging women and their bodies to the nth degree. And it's the most outrageous, preposterous thing in the world. And I think there are women are going to just say, enough is enough. We can't have it.
Well, they're going back, when they say make America great again, they're going back to the 1880s. I mean, they did the rebuttal for Biden. The lady was in a kitchen. Was she barefoot too? I don't, you know, what the heck are they trying to portray there? And who are their constituents that want to go back to the 1880s?
Well, you know, I remember what the commissioner said that I was going to say earlier. He said, you know, stop looking behind us. Stop looking at the past. Look to the future. And honestly, under Republican rule, we would be in worse shape than we have been in the past. And again, we just can't allow that to happen.
Right. Absolutely. Well, we got about 50 seconds left here. Do you have anything you want to tell everybody out there in Radioland?
Well, just if you're going to be out there celebrating that Irish St. Patrick Day, be safe.
Yeah.
And have just a really great weekend, everybody. And we'll hopefully, I might not be able to get to you next Friday. I have to fly to Atlanta, Georgia. But we'll talk about that. But Wopilatanka, everybody. Take care.
Thank you so much, State Senator Mary Kunish, our friend and our supporter, and been on the show for many years. And we really, really appreciate her and her work. So, again, big peeny geegy, State Senator. And she said, you're welcome.
You bet.
All right. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. And up next, Wendy with our sacred animal section. And you're listening to what? Native Roots Radio.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program, or TAP, is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP, along with a copy of your ID. We'll mail you a go-to card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. 612-373-3333.
Life can be hard. Sometimes it feels like there's no answers, like there's no way out. Hennepin County's COPE Mobile Crisis Response is here to listen and help you find a way through whatever is going on in your life. Call 612-596-1223 for no-cost crisis support anytime, anywhere in Hennepin County. That number is 612-596-1223. All My Relations Arts presents Okizi. Okizi means to heal, and the exhibition highlights the healing power of cultural revitalization for Native communities. Okizi showcases prints, mixed media, textiles, beadwork, digital collage, and glass sculptures by Native American and Sami artists. It explores Indigenous communities' active healing efforts through language revitalization, land-back movements, and embracing traditional knowledge. Visit All My Relations Arts to experience Okizi through April 13th. More information at allmyrelationsarts.org.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Oh, wow, that was a good one. Hey, I want to introduce Wendy, my awesome and beautiful wife, with her her weekly update here. And we are always learn so much from Wendy. Why don't you take it away, Wendy?
Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Haley. Hey, everybody. My name is Hana Jihihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dagar Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. It's always my pleasure to work on things like that. And today, it's Friday, so we're going to do a Fun Fact Friday. Couple of things I have here on my list. First, before we get started, I want to remind everyone that Wolf Day at the Minnesota State Capitol is sponsored by Howling for Wolves, and this event will be taking place on Wednesday, April 17th at the Minnesota State Capitol. If you go Google Howling for Wolves, just click on events, and you could find the page to sign up. And it's a really fun event. I've been going for years. We get together with people, like-minded people who care about our Minnesota wolves. And we talk to our legislators. We talk to our Senate, and we talk to our House representative and ask them to save wolves in Minnesota by removing hunting and trapping from state law. So that's what the purpose is. You get a lunch, you meet like-minded people, you get a t-shirt, and it's really awesome. So Wednesday, April 17th, at the Minnesota State Capitol, go to Howling for Wolves page, click on events, and you'll see the event, and you just have to register. And I'll see you there at the Capitol. Looking forward to it. Here's a funny thing I saw. March 14th, which was yesterday, is Save a Spider Day. You know, there's always a day for something, right? I don't know. Every day is something. But anyway, March 14th is Save a Spider Day. It's 8 reasons to be kind to a spider. Now, Robert and I, in our house, we do not kill spiders because we know that they eat, you know, other pests that we don't want around. And the spiders just kind of live at our house. There was one spider who lived at the top of our staircase in the corner of the step for a really long time. And Robert's daughter was coming to stay at our house while we were away. And I just said to her, I had to, you know, say to her, please do not kill the spider at the top of the stairs. Just like leave him alone. He's been living with us for a long time. He's like a roommate, and his name is Legs. So she thought I was a little bit crazy, but yeah, we don't kill them. So let's talk about the 8 reasons to be kind to spiders. So number one, spiders are great neighbors. They are nature's pest control, eating more insects than birds and bats combined. That's amazing. So if you have a spider, and he's living in your house, just leave him alone. We had one when I was a kid. I don't know, I was about 8 years old, and he lived in the basement, and he was in the doorway, in the corner of the top of the doorway, so we had to, like, duck down before we went into the laundry room, and he lived there for a really long time, and my mom was, like, really adamant about leaving the spider alone, so that's where I learned that. Number two, they are good for your garden. Spiders eat tons of aphids, and beetles that can harm your plants. So they're safe and they'll keep your plants safe. They're pollinators too. I did not know this. Many species of spiders are helpful to flowering plants, including vegetables and fruits. I swear I learned everything. I learned something new every day by doing this segment. Number four, spiders inspire scientists. So Spider-Naut is a robot designed for future extraplanetary equipment building. So I guess their body structure inspires scientists. So that's pretty cool. Number five, spider webs are an important material for hummingbird nests. There you go, Robert. Robert always loves hummingbirds and watching them. So that's a material for the hummingbirds. Number six, since ancient Greece, spider webs have been used to bandage wounds. They contain vitamin K, which promotes healing. Wow, that's crazy. All right, here, I just lost my space. Are we on number seven? Let's see. Yes, number seven, spiders actually very rarely bite humans. Most bumps and rashes blamed on spiders are not spider bites at all. So there you go. They don't really do that. Spiders are one of the oldest land animals. They began evolving 400 million years ago. So there you go. The spider, in fact, that lived at our house in our basement was also called Legs. So I guess every little spider that I see who lives in the house, I just name them Legs. I think it's a problem. It's an apropos name for spiders. So leave your spiders alone. Another reminder, please do not pull the dandelions. Those are the bees' first food. Don't clean up your yard yet until temperatures are consistently over 50 degrees. We have all kinds of little bugs and pollinators living in the hollows of last year's plants and living right underneath the ground. You know, here on Long Island, where I've been spending some time, they have been really doing a lot of lawn cleanup here. There's companies that just come around and with their, you know, leaf blowers, and they're cleaning up and they're throwing this white powder all over the lawn. I believe it's lime. I didn't look that up, but leave your lawn alone. We always say no mow May. But that might be different from where you are in the country. But just wait until temperatures are consistently over 50 degrees. Make sure you're not going to get any of those dips in the temperature. So we could, you know, the birds need the insects to live. So if you're cleaning up right now, you're killing a lot of their food. So we don't want to do that. So here's another fun fact. There are more than 1.4 billion insects for each human on the planet, according to recent estimates. That's crazy. There are more than 1.4 billion insects for each human on the planet. Ooh. I think I said this the last time. The shortest living animal in the world is the mayfly. Its entire adult lifespan is just 24 hours. That's crazy. Oh, yeah, and I said this too. I'm going to repeat this one because I never knew this. Roosters prevent themselves from going deaf due to their own loud crowing by tilting their head backs when they crow, which covers their ear canal completely, serving as a built-in earplug. Well, that's it for me today, folks. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the nice weather. Back to you, Haley. Back to you, Robert.
Hey, Wendy, thank you so much. Wow, that was awesome, Haley. Hey, if you are listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground in which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors.
We'll be back on Monday with Deb Holland and Norma Baker Flying Horse, Red Berry Woman. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office, and free Leonard Peltier. Now.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.